I want to share a second series, a second talk in our series for Advent, and we started last week with this idea of corporate Christmas. So we've been putting some, and will be putting some phrases together that you may not necessarily align all the time with Christmas. Some things that might seem a little bit at opposite sort of, you wouldn't normally put these words together with Christmas. Today is no exception. I'm going to talk about this morning, you see it on your screen, Mad Christmas. Now, I know that last week I got the bit of a reputation, or it seems to be circulating in the church, that I'm a Grinch. Nothing could be further from the truth. I've been playing Christmas music already. We've been decorating. I actually have been listening to Christmas music on my own without being told by my wife that it's time to listen to Christmas music. So just to dispel that rumor, that horrible rumor going around that I'm Grinch-like, honey, I've changed. I'm a changed man. But this morning we're going to talk about Mad Christmas, not mad in the sense of angry. So I don't know if this will translate well, but mad in the sense of a little bit crazy. This morning I want us to look again at these events in a little bit of a different way. The details of the story, how the baby came to earth from a different perspective, if you'll allow me. You may not at first agree with what I am going to say, but I suspect you will come, and I hope you will come, I pray you will come, to see some of what I am saying, see it the way I am saying it, and some of it to be true for you. You could look at the story of Christmas and you could ask, I think, was God mad when he came up with this plan? And again, I don't mean angry. Not mad in the sense of angry, but mad in the sense of rather, was God crazy? I know this is a terrible question to ask. It's a terrible way for a pastor to frame these things. You're probably thinking, that's a horrible question. Let me ask you something. Many of you are parents in this room, grandparents, parents. Let me ask you a question, and if you aren't a parent, I'm sure you can dive into this a little bit and feel this question a little bit yourself. If you knew without a doubt that when you send or sent your son or daughter to school, say Monday morning, that it was going to be a tough day, that they would encounter major ridicule, teasing, bullying, events that had the power to change their lives, would you still send them? Would you still send them? You knew without a doubt, unequivocally, that this was going to happen. They were not going to have a good day, and it could be something that could scar them for life. Would you still send them? And most likely, most of us as parents, if we had that power and that option, we would say, no, I will not send them today. What if, though, you knew without a doubt, again, absolute knowledge that you, if you send them on Monday, they, excuse me, would not be coming home at all. Something terrible would happen, an accident of some kind, that when you said goodbye in the morning, it would be the last time you would ever send them off to school. Would you still send them? Of course not, right? Of course not. You wouldn't do that. The thing that we need to remember here about God is that he knows everything. If it was less than that, if he were a lesser God, if you will, he would just be a God, small g, among other gods. But as it is, he is a God who knows also. It is God, big G, no other God. King David says this in the Psalms. And I'm interpreting, translating this here for us a slightly different way. Where can I go that you, God, can't see me? What can I say without you knowing what I will say before it crosses my lips? Where can I decide to go before you already know that where I'm going? So here's the point I want to make. God sent his son into the world when he knew all along exactly what would happen to him. exactly. The pain he would feel, the rejection, John says in his gospel, he came unto his own and his own threw a party for him? No, they did not receive him. The torture he would endure, the physical limitations he would face as God in the flesh, incarnate, and the ultimate horror of his death. He knew all of that. God knew when he sent his only son. It is not as though he was hoping it wouldn't happen. Because you might suspect there's some bad things that could happen to your child in this big, cruel world when you send them off to school. And they may come home someday with tears in their eyes because someone said something mean. It's not as if God was hoping that wouldn't happen. He knew it would. Let me ask you another question this morning. In this world that we live in, the world that exists today, the way it is, there are competing ideologies and ideas about what's right and what's wrong. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus was just walking amongst us still? Just imagine that for a minute. What I'm talking about is Jesus really being here, because I'm sure some of you would go, well, Pastor, actually, you know, he is with us. He's everywhere. You know, you might give that answer. I'm talking about him here. Go back and keep the story. Keep all of it. The little baby, the manger, 33 years as a man, his teaching, his trainings that he shared with his disciples, his miracles. Even keep the cross. But when he comes back to life, when he is raised from the dead, keep him here. Wouldn't that be great? We could invite him to speak on Sunday. That'd be much better than me up here. We might even fill the church right up. I'm going to hear Jesus speak today. He could give church leadership seminars. We wouldn't need all the books and the gurus that we have. We'll just ask Jesus, could you come to our church, you know, the last weekend in April and do a seminar for us? I think we'd sell out. He could be the keynote speaker at economic forums, climate forums. Maybe even they'd let him speak at the UN. If Jesus was still with us, 33 years old, never aged a day in 2,000 years, talk about credibility for our gospel message. Jesus was real. He's still here. A Jesus you could actually touch and see and hear. What was God thinking? That would have been awesome. What about the placement of the birth itself? Come on now, really, like in a cow stall? Really? I grew up on the farm. It doesn't smell so great. Dirty. Compare that for a moment to the sterile conditions that we strive for in our modern hospitals versus this feed trough that they placed him in. Shepherds? Why are shepherds in the story? They were the lowliest kind of, you know, the dregs of society. These were not, you know, elevated guys. These were people that everybody looked down on. What about the society of the day? They were ready and ripe for Messiah, one that had been promised. We talked about hope last Sunday, Advent Sunday, the Sunday of prophecy and hope. The Messiah who will come and deliver them from all of their woes. But obviously he came differently, didn't he? Less than what they expected. What about all the little boys, 2 years of age and under, that were slaughtered by a jealous and insecure King Herod because he was seeking out the Christ child? And let's just kill everyone under 2 years of age. That way I got it covered. What about that? What was God thinking? Was he mad? Was he mad? Well, of course, you're probably already recognizing that what I'm saying this morning itself may be considered the musings of a madman to some degree. But hopefully by getting us to think differently for a moment, we may start to think more clearly about what God was thinking, if we can do that. Let me propose this morning. If you hear nothing else this morning, let me propose this. God was thinking of you. God was thinking of you, even though you may be thinking. Remember this. God was thinking of you in this world, even though you may be thinking, what in the world was God thinking? God was thinking of you. God's revelation of himself to man and what takes place in this world has always been about getting our attention, who he is, what he wants, what he desires for us, what he has for us. He's been revealing himself and showing himself to us more and more so that we could know him more and more. It's always been about that. If you look through the history of Scripture, the flood, Egypt, being hauled off to Assyria and Babylon and enslaved. Then you move into our historical timeline a little bit more. The Romans, how about Hitler? You know, all kinds of political systems and structures that have been evil. How about pluralism versus the tolerance that is touted in our world today? How about even things like climate issues? I suspect it's possible that all of these have been about God revealing and having opportunities to reveal himself more and more over and over in deeper and greater ways, seeking and desiring for us to understand more of what he wants for us and has for us. The truth of the matter is this, that those who truly follow Jesus will never have it truly easy. Those who truly follow Jesus will never have it truly easy. And the opposite of that, the flip side of that is also true, that those who have it easy find it difficult to truly follow Jesus. Those who have it really easy find it difficult at times to truly follow Jesus. So was God mad? Could he have done it better? If God's methods were different, would it be better this day and in this age? Of course not, right? Of course not. It's madness to even think and suggest that an omniscient, a God who knows everything, could make an error. But to us, though, in this day and age, it's still a little bit hard to wrap our heads around. It doesn't make complete sense. In some ways, when you put this whole story together, it's even a little bit cruel. The need for a cross, a horrible death, the rejection, the shame, all of those things. Because you can't think about the cradle without understanding the cross. You can't think about the cradle and not realize that it leads to the cross. The true story of Christmas, how God entered this world, how he left, the message while he's here, though was here, makes sense, though, to those who need him most. To those who need him most. He is the suffering servant, as Isaiah says, born in a manure-filled stall. The scripture said that the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He relied on the generosity of strangers. He had to borrow a donkey to make his grand entrance into the city, into Jerusalem, that week before his ultimate crucifixion. He was nothing like us at all. Hear me, church. He was nothing like us at all because he had nothing and we have it all. No wonder we can sometimes have trouble relating to the story, to the ongoing call to live like Jesus, because it's difficult for us to relate. Perhaps it is. Could it be that sometimes we are too busy with our own lives to consider this reality? There's an old song that has this line in it, an old rock song from the 1980s, and it says this: 8 blocks south of City Hall, the rats run free and the winos crawl. If that's where you live and your four walls are a box, then a baby born in a cow stall means something to you. right? It's a comfort that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses, as the writer of Hebrews says. When you wonder if your words or your belief or your faith alone could land you in jail or worse, it could be your last words, the thought of a Savior overcoming death is actual hope. When life hangs in the balance every day, it's comforting to know that your life is not your own. Listen to this. Jesus has bought your life with his own life, and he takes care of his own. There's comfort in that. No, God was not mad. He knew that in order for us to truly appreciate him, his love, his grace, that we would need an example to follow. An example to follow. A life to emulate, a character to strive after. He knew that we needed Jesus. That we needed Jesus. God was not mad, no. He was thinking of you in this world, even though you may be thinking, what in the world was he thinking? He was thinking of you. And as often has been said, wise men still worship him today.